This is Elvin. I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible with me today to Philippians chapter 4? I'm glad you're watching, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Today, I want to continue in our Bible study pertaining to prayer. And I've tried to show you that prayer is dispensational. I am well aware throughout the Bible, all of the scriptures are written for our admonition and our learning. Genesis through Revelation. I know that. I understand that. And I believe that. But the scriptures that is directly unto us as members of the body of Christ is in Paul's epistles, and that's Romans through Philemon. Now, you can claim promises from Genesis chapter 1 through Acts chapter 28, but that doesn't mean that God is going to do what those things say in those passages and do them for you. God will do them for the people to whom they're written during the time for when they're written. Those promises in Genesis 1 through Acts 28, God will do the promises there. He will fill those promises and fulfill those promises for the people and to the people under whom those promises are written. And for which they're written. But that doesn't mean that you can just go back there and pull out any promise in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the book of Acts, or Hebrews, or 1 John, and say, I'm going to claim this. That won't work. That doesn't mean that just because that the Bible said in Hebrews that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, that does not mean that Jesus Christ is dealing with people the same today as he was yesterday, and that he will forever. He doesn't deal with men the same in all ages, and this is clear to those who believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it is with prayer. God will give you anything he promised you in Romans to Philemon at any time. If there is a promise to you in Romans to Philemon, then claim it. And whether you can see it taking place or not, know that it is taking place. Why, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. He said the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, we know that the things that happen around us and to us have a purpose. They may not feel good, and they may not look good, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so you can claim any promise that God gave you in Romans through Philemon. If God Almighty told you in Romans through Philemon that you could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, then you could do it. If God told you in Romans through Philemon to get you a bottle of oil and put a mustard seed in there and start selling it to people out in television land, then you could do it and God bless it. But God never told you that. If God Almighty told you to get on television and beg people for money and take their letters they sent and put them down on the floor and get out over them on your hands and your knees and look into the camera with a crazy look on your face and pray to God and all that, if God told you to do that, you could do that and God would answer. But God never told you to do that. Anything that God promised you and promised to Philemon, that you can claim and know that it's either yours right now or it's going to be yours based upon God's time to fulfill it. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, notice in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, moderate clemency, patience, temperance, and whatever. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Don't go overboard in things. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and I said one time that he heard that I didn't believe in praying for people that are sick. Well, of course I believe in praying for people. I believe in praying for all people. Say, you believe in praying for people to be healed? Yes, I believe in praying for people to be healed. Brother Morty, you believe that God will heal people if you pray for them? I have no guarantee that he will, because I know that all things work together for good of them who love God. And so I pray, believe in God, and believe in God's will be done and not mine. Yes, I believe in prayer. And I believe God answers prayer. I believe God answers big things, and God answers prayers with minute things, simple minute things. I went to Montgomery, Alabama in 1958. I established the Montgomery Rescue Mission. I was reading my Bible before, and I saw in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the question in my mind was, do I believe that? I saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible said that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. The question was, do I believe that? And I accepted it at face value. I had $8 in my pocket. I prepared my things to go, gave my wife $5 of the $8, took the $3, and took off to Montgomery, Alabama to establish the Montgomery Rescue Mission, believing that God Almighty would provide, believing that God would give me favor among men and make grace abound toward me, that I always, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound every good work. I went to Montgomery, didn't know anybody in Montgomery, and yet, for a week, I slept in a bed every night, ate 3 meals a day. I had the starter rebuilt on the old car that I was driving, bought 3 tanks of gasoline, got back in the mobile the following weekend, and had 75 cents in change and a half tank of gas. And I never asked anybody for a dime. I didn't beg anybody for money. I didn't take up offerings. I went up there and I preached the cross. I preached the gospel. And I told the people what I was wanting to do there. I told them that I wanted to establish a rescue mission there. God gave me favor among men. I established the rescue mission and operated it for 6 years. During that time, we had the rescue mission at one portion of that time of Madison Avenue in Montgomery, Alabama. Big old building up on Madison Avenue. This building cost us $65 a month rent. And many's the night that in the middle of the night I was praying and asking God to send me $65 to pay the rent on that building. In one particular instance, the time was up. It was ready to pay the rent and I didn't have the money. And I was praying to God, send me the money. That night, there was a church in Montgomery, Alabama that had a meeting. They didn't know I was praying. They didn't know that the money was needed at that time. But during that business meeting in that church, a man that knew about the rescue mission suggested to that board that they send me some money to help out. They finally agreed that they would do so, dismissed the meeting, and before they left that meeting, a man stopped and said, wait a minute. Why should we wait to do this? Why don't we send him the money tomorrow? And so they came back in there and agreed on it, and they made up $65. $65. And the next morning, a man that I had never seen before, that was a member of that congregation, a member of that board, rang the doorbell. I went to the door. That man stood there and identified himself and said, Brother Moore, we prayed about this, and we believe that God would have us to give you this money. And he gave me a check for $65 that I'd been praying for the night before. They didn't know I was praying about it. I didn't know they were having the meeting. God answers prayer, but we know that all things work together for the good of God, to basis. There's a man in this town here today that calls me a dry cleaner. He calls me a hyper-dispensationalist and a lot of other names. He's called me names like dog and liar and on and on and on. This is a preacher I'm talking about. And he tells his students that I don't believe in operating by faith. I don't believe in walking by faith. He's lying. He knows absolutely nothing about me. He's just trying to discourage them. Yes, I believe in walking by faith. I've never believed any other way since I, as they say, went into the ministry. One time in the rescue mission, we always put the work, we let the men that were saved in the rescue mission, we let them work there for a while if they wanted to, and tried to establish them in the Word of God. Those that claim Christ as their Savior, we put them to work in there, giving them something to do, just in order to teach them the Bible. And so we always had a meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning around the table there with the staff, as they say, and always had prayer. And on this particular morning, I'd come to work, come into the rescue mission, and I was down. It was like, why all this? What am I doing here anyway? We owed more than $400 in bills and had no money to pay them. The food was about all gone out of the kitchen. It looked like we weren't going to have anything to feed the men with. My car, the radio was busted on my car. And I couldn't get around to visit people and do what I was asked to do. And so that morning, we prayed, and each individual prayed, and it came my time to pray. And I thank God for the privilege of being on that rescue mission. And that morning, I prayed and asked God for basically three things. I asked God to give me the money to pay the bills that were outstanding. I asked Him to give me food to feed the people as they came in there, the bums, as they say. I asked Him for a radiator for a 1953 Pontiac. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. About noon, a car pulled up outside two station wagon, brother. And young people in South Montgomery had been out and they've been gathering food stuff, canned goods and whatever, for the rescue mission. They knew about us and they were out trying to help us. They did not know we were in prayer about it. They were out there working. And they brought boxes of food into the rescue mission. God was answering the prayer. They had not much more than left the rescue mission. They had not gotten very many blocks away from there. The doorbell rang. I went to the front and answered the door, and there stood this lady. She identified herself and asked me to identify myself. I told her that I'm Brother Moore, and she said, I've been wanting to meet you. She said, Brother Bill Johnson has been telling me about you and about the work here, and I've been intending to come by here. For months I've intended to come by, and I just haven't been able to manage the time. And she said, I wanted to bring you a check. Said, this morning, though, I had this great urgency. Well, then in my home, I had this great urgency that I need to do this today. And said, I brought you this check. She gave me a check for $450. Yes, I believe in walking by faith. Yes, I believe in prayer. Yes, I believe that God answers prayer. This lady left before 6 o'clock p.m. on a Saturday. That was on Saturday morning. Before 6 o'clock p.m., a man drove from a town about 90 miles south of Montgomery, Alabama, and go is worse than an infidel. Did God say he'd provide your need? Then he'll provide. Did God say he'll make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, but have found every good work in the Lord? Then God Almighty will give you favor among men, that you may have what you need to do the job that God calls you to do. The Bible said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I want you to think about something about prayer. Notice the comparison of prayer, or where prayer was concerning, and Jesus teaching the apostles, say, here is the beginning of Christ's ministry. His crucifixion is here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is there. The book of Acts is in here. Paul's salvation is right there. And the rapture of the church is there. Romans through Philemon is in there. Hebrews through Revelation over there. Now, notice some things here. Turn in your Bible, please, to John. And look in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, I notice in John 14, verse 12. John 14, 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know you can't claim that passage. Now, you can claim it if you want to, but you know that God is not going to fulfill that passage in your life. Greater works than Christ? Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I've already discussed with you that Jesus Christ died for these people that he had trained back here. He taught them back here. He died for them. He ascended up to heaven. He received from the Father the Holy Spirit, and he empowered them with the Holy Spirit. He said, as John baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in Acts chapter 1, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. These men had power and authority in a sense that we do not have today. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, and of course it would be by the Holy Spirit, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You cannot live on that passage. You can't claim that. But that isn't all. Notice in John chapter 14, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and on and on and on. Please observe the keeping the commandments. Go to John chapter 15, and John 15, and notice verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I do not abide in the love of Jesus Christ because of his commandments. I abide in the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ by faith in what he did for me at Calvary. Jesus Christ died for me at Calvary, and there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Not one creature, according to Romans chapter 8, not anything can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I am not in the love of Christ Jesus because I keep his commandments. I'm in the love of Christ Jesus because I believe in him. I'm in the love of Christ Jesus because I have faith in him. And I walk in faith pertaining to him, and I believe his book, rightly divided. I don't strain out the scripture. I don't take the scripture out of their context. I don't take the passages over here and try to make them work in Romans to Philemon when it's obviously they're not working. And deceive the people into believing that they are working when they aren't working. I accept the Bible exactly as it is written. Please, Father, I believe I do. Turn to your Bible, please, to 1 John. In 1 John. Notice in 1 John. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Excuse me. Notice in verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever you ask, whatsoever we ask, we receive of them, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I do not get prayers answered because I'm keeping the commandments. The Bible said that I'm dead to the commandments. The Bible discouragement because people were taught to claim 1 John and the book of John, as in John chapter 14. And they claimed those passages, praying that God would do something for them, believing, he said, there, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I'll do it. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And they claimed that, and God never did it. And they became discouraged and disheartened, and they're not serving the Lord any longer. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, but we also know that God answers prayer. God said, be careful for nothing. Let's go back to that passage we started with in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word careful there is used in Luke chapter 10 to illustrate the point of what does it mean. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is in the home of Martha and Mary. And he's seated there teaching, and Mary is listening to him. Martha is preparing things. She's in the kitchen. She's cooking and slinging the dishes around and hot and all disturbed and everything. And she's observing, evidently, Mary in there. And she's getting jealous. And she's getting envious of her. There she is sitting in there looking at Jesus and listening to Jesus Christ and hearing him while she's in here toiling away and working, trying to satisfy the Master with the work of her hands. And finally Martha goes and said, Lord, command her that she come and help me. And I'm paraphrasing the passages. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but Mary had chosen that good thing and all in all. Martha was careful. She was troubled. The passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful. Don't be upset. Don't be disturbed. Don't get all in a sweat and all upset. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving requests. Make your request to God. There are three things there. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and be